Welcome to the Tap One Radio Lounge. We have had a few weeks off, and it appears to have been quite busy news. I am Sonic. I am joined today by, on my left, Swami. Hello.
Namaste and blessings. The Swami welcomes everyone with great joy. Hope you're feeling even better.
And to my right, Reset.
Hello, everybody. Good to be here.
On today's show, we sadly won't be joined by our fellow cohorts, Steve and Fi, but they are enjoying a night out. So enjoy, folks. we're here on TimeOneRadio.com. And hello to our good listeners. Hello, Cav. Hi, mate.
Let us load the news bong.
Okay, let me get a bong. Let's see where it is. It has definitely been quite a few weeks in this particular reality tunnel here, hasn't it?
Yeah. Today's news bong will be one of those long glass types that requires two people to operate.
So
the content is thick.
So let's, without ado, let's start with the bong. Here is a bong. Now, where should we begin? Shooting.
Reset, where do you want to start?
I got a couple little things I wrote down, but I mean, I think first and foremost should probably be the shootings.
And there's been a number of them, hasn't there?
Well, yes. Kindly allow this Swami to have Sonic run a piece of audio before going into this story. So, Sonic, if you'd run the first 4 minutes and 13 seconds of the audio provided, please.
Is that starting from like 4 minutes 30, or is it starting from right at the
beginning? No. Start from the beginning to 4 minutes and 13 seconds.
Okay, yes. Here we go.
Good morning. It has been a long, long morning. And I want to say, first of all, thank you to all the emergency personnel that have worked through the night, and their courage and their calm determination to make our city safe and to arrest anybody that did us harm. I also want to thank the county, Judge Jenkins. I want to thank the FBI. I want to thank the governor. Lieutenant Governor flew in last night. The president called me from Poland. And all your commentators have wished us well and are praying for us. And I want to say from our heart, we feel that. And so thank you. I am now going to tell you some not good news for you reporters. And that is, we've got a criminal investigation going on. And our number one job is to make sure the citizens of Dallas are safe. So we're not going to tell you anything about the suspects, and we're not going to answer any questions on that. We will when it's the right time. Now is not the right time. But a lot has happened in the last 5 or 6, 7 hours since we talked. I guess it was early in the morning. And I want Chief Brown to give you an update on that. I'm proud of him. He's been working so hard these last few hours. We've been with families, and we've been trying to make sure that the city is safe this morning, and I believe it is. Chief Brown.
Thank you, Mayor.
We're hurting. our profession is hurting. Dallas officers are hurting. We are heartbroken. There are no words to describe the atrocity that occurred to our city. All I know is that this must stop, this divisiveness between our police and our citizens. To update you on what's transpired since we last spoke, let me walk through the standoff that had occurred, or that was occurring at El Centro on the second floor, the college there in downtown Dallas. We cornered one suspect and we tried to negotiate for several hours. Negotiations broke down. We had an exchange of gunfire with the suspect. We saw no other option but to use our bomb robot and place a device on its extension for it to detonate where the suspect was. Other options would have exposed our officers to grave danger. The suspect is deceased as a result of detonating the bomb. The reporting that the suspect killed himself is not accurate. We've confirmed that he's been deceased because of the detonation of the bomb.
Headline: Killer Robot Used by Dallas Police Opens Ethical Debate. When Dallas police used a bomb-carrying robot to kill a sniper, they also kicked off an ethical debate about technology's use as a crime-fighting weapon. In what appears to be an unprecedented tactic, police rigged a bomb disposal robot to kill an armed suspect in the fatal shootings of five officers in Dallas. While there doesn't appear to be any hard data on the subject, security experts and law enforcement officials said they couldn't recall another time when police have deployed a robot with lethal intent. The strategy opens a new chapter in the escalating use of remote and semi-autonomous devices to fight crime and protect lives. It also raises new questions over when it's appropriate to dispatch a robot to kill dangerous suspects instead of continuing to negotiate their surrender. Quote, if lethally equipped robots can be used in this situation, when else can they be used? End quote. Says Elizabeth Joe, a University of California at Davis law professor who has followed U.S. law enforcement's use of technology. Quote, extreme emergencies shouldn't define the scope of more ordinary situations where police may want to use robots that are capable of harm, end quote. Dallas Police Chief David Brown defended his department's decision. Quote, other options would have exposed our officers to great danger, he said. Dallas Mayor Mike Rawlings applauded Brown for making the right call and said he would have no qualms about resorting to the same strategy in the future. Quote, when there's no other way, I think this is a good example. The key thing is to keep our police out of harm's way. Police have been using such robots for decades to dispose of suspected bombs and in hostage standoffs and fires. Meanwhile, militaries around the world have come to rely on their robotic friends to disable improvised explosive devices, a need that only increased with the U.S. occupation of Iraq following its 2003 invasion. Many of the robots joining police forces are coming from a U.S. Department of Defense program transferring surplus equipment from the military. These exchanges have provided law enforcement agencies with robots such as PackBot, made by Endeavor Robotics, the Talon from Kineticue, and the MarkBot, made by Exponent. But military experts said ground-level robots are rarely used to kill the enemy. Their main purpose is to detect and defuse bombs to save lives. Military robots are, quote, fairly clunky and used best for reconnaissance rather than the offensive, said Tom Gorup, an infantry veteran of Iraq and Afghanistan, who's now an official at the IT security firm Rook Security. Airborne robots are another matter. The U.S. military has sent remotely piloted drones to kill hundreds of people, including civilians, in counter-terror attacks launched overseas since 2009, based on estimates released last week by the Obama administration. The robots working for police departments across the country range in size from devices as small as a dog bone to others as large as a truck. Some are little more than a mechanical arm mounted onto a vehicle and equipped with a video camera and two-way audio communication, according to William Flanagan, a retired deputy police chief from New York's Nassau County, who now does law enforcement and technology consulting. The most versatile robots can climb stairs and navigate other tight spots, such as this one made by iCore Technology. Many models used by police are about the size of a backpack. Flanagan speculated that police in Dallas probably equipped their robot with a low-powered explosive, possibly one similar to what bomb squads use to blow up suspicious packages, that would only disable what is closest to it. Dallas police didn't respond to a request for further information about their use of the robot. Robotics expert Peter W. Singer of the New America Foundation said the killing marked the first instance he's aware of in which police have used a robot to lethal effect. But when he was researching his 2009 book, Wired for War, a U.S. soldier told him troops in Iraq sometimes use surveillance robots against insurgents, he added in an email Friday. William Cohen, a former Exponent employee who helped design the MarkBot, said that the robot was built to save lives, not end them. Although he was relieved, the killing of the armed suspect in Dallas assured that no other police officers or bystanders would be harmed, Cohen says he's worried about what might happen next. Quote, "It opens a whole new set of questions of how to deal with these kind of situations. Where are the police going to draw the line when trying to decide between continuing to negotiate and doing something like this?" This, Swami would point out in the opening audio, you heard the mayor inform the reporters that there would be no information given on plural suspects. They would only say, we blew this guy up. And he's dead because we blew him up. The end. Get up on your mic there, Sonic.
I said...
You're very quiet.
Is that better?
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah, why did they not do the same with the other snipers that they did to this guy? And also, yeah, sort of a precedent in sort of Robocop technology has been employed on the streets of America.
You know, it's really kind of strange. It was Thursday night. I had a friend over, and we were talking. He's pretty open-minded, but not quite as awake and aware of you know, certain things. But we were talking and about the shootings that were happening, and he says, you know, this is gonna really make it hard for police. I mean, they're all just going to be paranoid and trigger happy because they have no idea what's going to happen. How are they going to deal with this? I said, no, they'll just start sending in robots. And then I wake up the next day and find out that this guy got apparently blown up by a robot. It's like, wow. That was kind of a palm to the forehead moment there.
Yeah. Speak it and it shall occur.
Yeah, exactly. But no, like, as we're saying, though, initial reports were that there were three or four shooters, and then later on in the day, it got reduced to a lone gunman, you know?
Yep.
So, yeah, it totally is one of these. I'm calling bullshit on Dallas. I think it was a total setup.
And reduced to an individual they could call Micah X.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm.
Which harkens back and they have to all these, Malcolm X.
They have all these pictures of him on like CNN and Fox News. The picture they're using is occasionally they'll show him in his U.S. Army getup, but the one they're using more often than not is him in like Islamic traditional clothing,
the Black Power African thing.
Yeah.
It's not Islamic. That's African dress.
Okay.
But yes, he looks different. Potentially threatened.
Key point I was getting at there, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So these other guys will just slip off into the night, like good Gladio agents. do you think?
Well, we've all still, at least this Swami is just sitting with a worm on my tongue, or better known as bated breath, waiting for the 18th through the 21st in Cincinnati for the Republican National Convention, which is where a great deal of scuttlebutt says a whole bunch of Black Lives Matter people will be bussed in to cause trouble, and also the police officers who are going to be in their riot gear are very unhappy with the fact that they're not going to be able to wear their body cams, which they've come to rely on to present what actually takes place when they're improperly accused of something. Because the body cams will not properly and securely attach to the riot gear. So we will see how that all unfolds the 18th through the 21st.
So going back to Dallas here, how the protest that was going on, was that pretty, would seemingly be an organic coming together of people, or was...
Yes, it was entirely peaceful. It was basically over at the time the shooting started. It was in response, nationwide this went on, to the two guys, that were basically executed by police, one in Baton Rouge and one up in Minnesota, where these guys were just shot and killed. And that, you know, went viral in social media and that. And the, you know, there was a great deal of protesting going on all over the country. This ain't cool. You cannot summarily execute human beings. And so, you know, this really, you know, how those who would steer social manipulation, you know, never let a good crisis go to waste. Now, this primes and sets kindling for more sparks.
So what's
and more flame and more situations.
So what's happening with the cops that killed these people? Are they being
paid administrative leave?
And are they being sort of airbrushed out of the picture whilst this sort of Dallas situation unfolds? Will people remember? Yeah, will it get to a sort of a Ferguson situation?
Yes. Yes. More than likely, I mean, that would be the best use of it, to keep rolling that out, you know, referring to these summary executions performed by police officers on people who were not engaged in any life-threatening activity, so that people can get all worked up and... You know, here we go. That's the only way for them to play it.
So,
you know?
So instead of this guy sort of going after those particular police officers, you know, sort of in vigilante style, he just sort of goes after random cops in a state.
Yeah, white cops, pretty much.
In a state, you know, thousands of miles away.
Well,
the term they keep using
is right next
is,
to Louisiana. But.
Okay, sorry.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that the term they keep using on the popular media is ambush. They're calling this a police ambush. And apparently there was, I think it was a guy in Georgia. They're claiming he called 911, lured police to his place, and ambushed him. So ambush is the new term that they're pulling out.
Right.
But yeah, there were a couple states where things like this.
Yep. And there's going to be more. I mean, we can watch, and, you know, there's going to be plenty of opportunities for people to do all sorts of crazy stuff, whether they are mind control people or whether they are just pissed off with the cops killing humans situation. You know, I mean, all these people all across the country protesting, you know, whether loudly or calmly over these two shootings that made viral media, but over the July 4th weekend in the city of Chicago, just up the road from this one, 60 shootings. Nobody said anything about that.
Yeah, well, obviously not newsworthy.
Well, I mean, it got reported, but there was no visceral reaction to tap into, really. It's just, oh, well, that's Chicago. That's, you know, that's the murder capital of the world right now.
So it appears that this situation was played out in order to utilize this sort of robot bomb technology, do you think? Or, I mean, yeah, they're saying that the guy's dead, but...
Right. There's been no pictures of a body or parts of a body or any video of much of anything. There was video of, and we can't even be sure it was... this Micah X guy, where he, or the shooter and what appears to be a police officer were maneuvering around a pillar of a building, and the shooter switched around behind the pillar and shot the apparent police officer point blank in the back or the back of the head and dropped him immediately. But there was also some video of someone dressed just like him, like the shooter in that particular piece of video, also moving around what appeared to be the same pillar structures with a handgun. So don't, because I mean, there's really been a very small amount of video run on the mainstream, you know, media sources. It's just, how they do the same stuff, the same imagery, repeated. And here we are again.
You would have thought that as this played out over several hours, that you would have seen them maybe taking off taking away the other guys.
Well, there was a photo, a still, that this Swami has seen. Haven't seen it on the mainstream stuff, but have seen it online, where there was a young African-American man who was handcuffed behind his back and might have had a bulletproof vest of some sort on, being walked somewhere, but it was just a still shot, and there's been no names released. You know, even as this was going, what this Swami found kind of strange was that, you know, immediately after Orlando, immediately after San Bernardino, names, here's who did it, all kinds of background, you know, right after. Yet, the next morning, on mainstream media, no names at all. Just divisive rhetoric.
Yeah.
You know, to go along with all this, though, the whole Dallas thing, and, you know, we were talking about the robots earlier, the robot they sent in. It's a little strange, like I said, you know, we were talking about, you know, this sets a precedent, obviously, but how hard would it have been for them to actually, I assume that the Dallas police have rifles, you know, guns with scopes that they could, you know, train the guy in on. Why did they have to send in this robot instead of, you know, using a gun?
How did that decision,
you know,
what was dismissed as a possibility before that was landed on? Because that's just not procedure.
Exactly.
And also, if you were just saying there, there's the footage of this guy with a rifle around some sort of pillar. If there's video, if there's footage of that, then why is there not? If someone could get a picture of that, why was there not like a marksman also on the guy? Even just to like wound him in order to arrest him. It just doesn't really make any sense at all.
Well, it's most certainly, even in the fog of live happening, which we don't get to see all that often, the response to a threat and evaluating the location, the all of that requires time. And then you got to get personnel with the appropriate tools in the right position to do something, you know? So that requires time. But this was an interesting situation in that it was live. I mean, it was going on. It wasn't people reporting about what had already happened and been proven or became the official story or whatever. I mean, they were talking about multiple snipers in elevated positions. This guy that the video showed, Reset, did you see that video of the guy with the rifle clipping the apparent officer from behind? Had you seen that piece?
It was a video from up above that was kind of shooting down across the street, and the guy was kind of standing.
Security cam kind of thing.
Yeah.
It wasn't like a human, you know, looking at it.
You mentioned that, and honestly, before you go into it, makes me think. I remember watching that video, and I thought it was very strange how at the very beginning it was a very still clip, almost like the camera was mounted on a tripod, and then all of a sudden the camera jolted, and it looked like someone picked up the camera. Mm. I don't know if you noticed that, but it was very strange the way the video was shot.
And it's been just curious, from this Swami point of view, how there is so little video or photographic representation of any of it. It's just the same imagery, much like 9/11, the same imagery, just repeated, hour after hour after hour, and then the divisive rhetoric about one point of view or the other, and how this is going to lead to race war and martial law. And you know what I mean? It's just blooming into this really potentially ugly social situation.
And you know what the most basic form of mind control is? Repetition.
Oh, yes. It's used because it works.
Hmm.
And for those who are not discerning enough to pick up subtle clues about how things get done, well, then, boom, they're locked in. Their perception of whatever the media hosts are presenting and saying is exactly the way they're going to think about it and see it, and then become pissed off or fearful, you know? Now, thankfully, there also, that this Swami has seen, have been a number of people saying, hey, look, you know, this ain't right, ain't no part of this right, we got to pull together and not behave this way, you know? So there's some hopeful rhetoric out there, but that's not the majority of what's getting said. You know, when you get guys like Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton sitting pontificating about how cops have always been bad, and you know, well, what do you think people are going to think then?
Yeah, and you know, one of the other aspects of this is it's being framed as a black-white thing. Which obviously, I mean, yeah, there is a black-white, you know, some tension there between us. Obviously, there's some history. But the two shootings, one of them was, a guy down in Baton Rouge. I think it was like two cops on him. He ended up getting shot. The next day, this thing in Minnesota happened where I happened to be located. Mm-hmm. I've got a couple little interesting facts on that one. But one of the things I wanted to mention here is the guy that shot the black fella here in Minnesota, he wasn't even white. He was an Asian guy.
And was he really?
I've not heard. I heard that on local news up here. They haven't released any information on him, really.
Because that would not play into the chosen way of presenting it. All I saw was the video from the driver, the girlfriend's live stream on Facebook, which you couldn't see the cop's face. All you could see was him holding the gun and yelling.
Exactly.
He was freaked out. He knew he screwed up.
Yeah.
You know, and he was trying to defend. I told him not to. Why are you yelling at her? You know, I mean.
Yeah, later on.
So he was entirely amped up.
Yeah, after the girl was pulled out, I've seen the entire video actually, and she gets pulled out of the car and she's told to walk backwards. You know, she drops her phone so they can handcuff her, and her phone is laying there on the ground, and you can hear the police officer in the background. He yells fuck like 5 or 6 times because he knew he had totally fucked up.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it's not, I mean, that one right there, it wasn't even a white guy that shot him. It was an Asian guy. So that really makes you wonder, is this some kind of weird, just like background ingrained racism, or is this institutionalized racism on part of the police departments? Or, just fear black people. Is that what they're being taught?
Black people fear white cops and kill them because you are right in doing that. You are saving your people. You know, see how they can divide and manipulate perceptions? I mean, wow.
or the guy that, this Asian guy, Copper, accidentally squeezed his gun and then was like, fuck.
Well, you don't accidentally squeeze your gun 4 or 5 times.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he was shot.
The guy had 4 or 5 bullets put into him.
While reaching into his pocket to pull out his identification, as the officer had instructed him to do.
So, and that was streamed live over Facebook.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So Facebook is now like some sort of snuff carrier.
Well, there's an ethical question about live streaming now, you know? I mean, that certainly, you know, she didn't have any intention of doing anything other than, oh my God, look what's happening right now, right here in my car with a child in the back seat.
Yeah. I mean, you know, she's doing everything in her power to make sure that situation isn't going away. And she had the facility of, you know, just broadcasting it live over the internet. Right. So, I mean,
and she did a great job of maintaining her composure while watching her boyfriend. You know, she didn't see him die. He didn't die right there, but he lost consciousness. And she was like, did he just go? I mean, don't, Jesus, tell me he didn't just, you know, but she was maintaining her calm because she knows if she gets all amped up, her daughter's going to get all amped up and the cop is going to get, you know, I mean, nothing good can come from that. So she, much to her credit, for what she was going through in that moment, maintained her ability to communicate clearly and calmly with a completely out of emotional control police officer.
Also, if she'd have just videoed it rather than like live streaming, then the potential of the footage, you know, just never seen the light of day. A phone being confiscated for police evidence or whatever. So, I can't really blame her for doing that.
You know, you say that, Nick, and honestly, one of the things, if you watch that entire video, one of the things just before you see her sitting in the car, like I said, her phone was dropped on the ground, and she was put in the back of the car, the police car. One of the officers picked up her phone, and she was asking for it, and they said, no, this is going to have to be processed. Sorry, ma'am, it's going to have to be processed, is what they kept saying. But eventually, she ended up getting her phone back. So like you say, I mean, had she not been live streaming that, it may have been, you know, the data might have been compromised.
Yeah.
Most likely.
Most definitely. So, but it does seem not fortuitous in a good way, but just the events seem to just like domino towards this RoboCop event. there's one guy being blamed that's been blown up, so he's out of the question. We've got three or four snipers that they're not letting any information about.
One allegedly a female.
And you've got the cops that have died. So, you know, was one of these cops, was one of these cops supposed to be taken out, and they needed some sort of lone
situation
event to take him out.
Well, we have the conspiracy theory awareness and mindset can just speculate in a thousand different possible directions, you know, that we've seen things play out. There are precedent for, you know,
Did any of the protesters, did any bystanders get hit?
Yes. At least two that I'm, as I recall, there were two that were not police officers who were wounded, but not killed. How are you on that particular detail? Do you recall?
Honestly, I've been having CNN on for a good long while, and they've not reported on any protesters being hit. It was basically five cops killed and seven injured is the line they're touting.
I'm gonna do a quick search on that. Y'all carry on, if you will.
So, yeah, all this is sort of masking the real headline of Clinton's exoneration for deleting 30,000 emails.
Yeah, that's another clusterfuck right there.
Yeah, how she has not been indicted. They've basically just said, "You're a clumsy bitch," haven't they?
Right, and then Comey, the head of the FBI, who takes his orders from Loretta Lynch, who had a private meeting on her airplane on the tarmac at Phoenix Sky Harbor Airport with Bill Clinton, like 24, 48 hours before this decision came down. And you know, when you got Bill Clinton, who is an illegitimate Rockefeller son, telling you how it's going to be, you pretty much got to get her done. And, you know, Comey, the FBI guy, he knew he's going to take a hit, you know? And then he was before a panel of Congress or Senate, one or the other, and a Republican guy got him to very clearly admit, yes, she lied about this. Yes, she lied about that. Yes, she lied about, repeatedly, different things, the number of devices used, all sorts of stuff.
So
that her public comments were completely lies.
So we've got a potential president going into the White House knowingly lied about rather massive things. That just doesn't fill me with confidence. I don't think. I mean,
not at all.
They're just not even trying anymore, are they? They're not even trying to hide the level of corruption abounds. The White House and Washington D.C. and all major political centers of the world, I think. It just
when you get down to it, you know, just a lot of the corruption that's actually happening, it's pretty hard to hide. So there's no sense in trying to anymore.
And well, I think the best place to hide it is literally just out there in plain sight, because there's such a this roller coaster of news that it's people may be talking about it for a few hours that you know some people will be watching. But then something else will happen, like, you know, this Dallas thing, and everybody will be talking about that. Or that there'll be some, you know, Trump will no doubt come out with some random statement that will then put him in the carousel headlights for a while. It's just
either that or
he wants to make America safe again.
That or Miley Cyrus will come out saying she's a pansexual and she'll fuck anything as long as it's not an animal.
Except
and then the bestiality movement will go after her. Well, we're entirely capable of doing an animal. Why are you, okay.
Oh, dear. Yes. Crazy. Crazy world.
It's a sick, sad world.
And, So, right, well, we're not going to go for a break just yet. We've still got a few minutes, but I'm just going to get your choice of tune up and ready. Now over here we seem to have. I mean, we'll maybe get into this a lot more in the second hour, but just as like a little preamble, things have just been crumbling over here.
The Brexit.
Yes.
That was quite the wrecking ball.
Yeah, and I'm trying to process how, because I mean it's still not, you know, we're still in Europe. Within the Lisbon Treaty, there's this Article 50 which needs to be invoked like some sort of spell. In order for us to regain some sort of control, even though
it was a non-binding resolution.
Even though the same people that are running Brussels are running Westminster and are running everywhere else, so it's some sort of psychological weapon where to cause most chaos, I think. And the markets have just been going crazy all over the place. The pound has dropped. Someone is making a fucking shitload of cash at the moment in all this panic. The political establishment over here, they're just toppling like dominoes again. Since the day after the referendum, David Cameron's fallen on his sword, and then Boris did the same.
But he's not leaving till October?
Yeah. Well, okay. Probably till about. I think the actual vote is in about September at the conference. So.
Oh really? Okay.
And it's more likely that we'll get another. We definitely get a lady. Lady in the White House, lady in Westminster lady in Germany. So, yes.
Yeah, first one since Thatcher.
Yeah, yeah. Right? Yeah, for 26 years. So, I think it'll probably be Theresa May, who at the moment is the Home Secretary and has been ruling with an iron fist.
Got to see the video of her catching a few winks while Cameron was talking. She nodded off. What? Okay. Well, old people get tired. Sorry.
Yeah. Right. I'll load up this tune.
Oh, and the Washington Post story did mention officials said two civilians were also injured in the attack.
Okay.
And this also has really overshadowed the last one in Orlando. Yeah. And when we went to Gran Canaria, it's like quite a gay resort. There was loads of posters everywhere for sort of "We're with you, Orlando," and I just didn't have the heart to sort of get into any discussions with people regarding how the situation was played. I did watch a young female documentary filmmaker over here, works for the BBC, called Stacey Dooley. She sounds sort of like Nancy Drew type, she did a little documentary going to Orlando and sort of speaking to some of the people that were in the club, and she reported that this the shooter guy who was frequenting the club and spoke to quite a few people that knew him and were just sort of saying that he was obviously not coming to terms with the fact that he was gay. Crazy situation. So
as a bit of a promo, here's the headline, and this Swami will go into detail here in a bit. Vatican offers time off purgatory to followers of Pope Francis tweets.
Ooh.
Okay. More on that in the second hour. So after this tune, which is Pearl Jam WMA, we'll start the second. So just refresh your browsers and we'll be right back after this tune. See you in a bit. Bye.